Everybody said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mullins, and we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be on this campground, I guess. You can call this a campground. It is a campground. And it's good to be under this tent. It's already been mentioned. This is the first time to preach, have church, have service under this beautiful tent. And what a beautiful tent it is. I marveled at how beautiful and how well made, how it's made. Beautiful, beautiful tent, beautiful place to have church. Many years ago, I used to preach, when I was a little younger, I used to preach some tent revivals, but it wasn't this nice a tent, I can tell you. I've never preached in this. This is the Cadillac of all tents right here. This is it. I've preached in some old ragged tents, and believe it or not, preached in some brush arbors. Any of you ever seen a brush arbor? Yeah, three or four old-timers here tonight. Praise God. Amen. But it's great to be in this tent. It's great to be in the Western District and to be in this camp meeting. We've been looking forward to coming. Glad to have my wife with me, and we're excited about being here. Good to be with Brother Mullins, your good district superintendent. I want to give honor to him and his wife and their good leadership that they are giving to this district. And I thank the Lord for them. And may the Lord bless them as they continue to lead this district in the will of God. It's good to be with you, Brother Mullins. Praise the Lord. Brother Cantrell's been a longtime friend, and I love and appreciate him. Good to see him tonight, the district secretary, district board members that are here, and Brother Nathaniel Wilson, longtime friend, helping in this camp meeting, organizing, he and his wife. And our room is just beautiful, and the fruit basket was awesome, and you could tell that somebody had sort of put that together. And that was so nice. So very nice. Thank you, Brother and Sister Wilson. God bless you. Brother Booker's longtime friend. Little short fellow here on my right. Praise God. Amen. I love and appreciate Brother Booker. Brother Tim Spell. Boy, he's singing. I'm telling you. He's something. Amen. He's my favorite singer. Man, I like to hear Brother Tim Spell sing. Been to our church a lot of times. We're glad to see him tonight. I didn't know he was going to be here, so that's a real treat to see him here. Brother Miles Young led this singing. Great young man. I appreciate him very much. And it's good to be here with my aunt and my uncle. And I'm very glad to see them. They're from Bakersfield, from Brother Mullins Church. Been there many, many years in that church. And Brother Cecil Blackwood, Sister Myrtle Blackwood. That's my dad's youngest sister. I'm sure she'll be happy for me to say youngest sister. Yeah. And they're sitting right back here on my left. And my aunt and uncle, I'm very happy to see them here. Amen. I got where I'm seeing relatives everywhere I go. I got relatives everywhere. Week before last, I was preaching at the Idaho camp. And on the first night, I looked up, and there was my first cousin. He came in, he and his wife. And was there for the camp. So I got relatives everywhere I go. I've got 10 folks everywhere. Praise God. Scattered everywhere. And so it's great to be here with you, all the good preachers. It's always a joy to come to Western District. You folks are the finest. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Back in the end of May, I went to the doctor. I had some sores and I was hurting real bad. And I went to the doctor and he took one look at me and he said, "You've got the shingles." Well, now I've heard of shingles all my life. You've had them? Oh, help me, Heavenly Father. And that was the end of May, and he told me I had the shingles. I said, "How long do you keep them?" He said, "Some people keep them for 6 or 8, 10 months or up to a year." And he said, I said, "How long do the pains last?" He said, "The pain will last about 6 weeks after all the sores are gone." And I said, "You sure are a man of encouragement. You know, you really know how to encourage a fella." And so I pretty well had to cancel everything in June. But the Lord touched me, and I'm feeling better. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I'm very, very, very delighted to be here. I heard the other day that I read somewhere that exercise is the key to your life. You know, low impact exercise, like walking, they said is the key. That's keep you good and active and keep you in good health. And one man said that his grandmother started walking 5 miles a day. They said, "Y'all walk 5 miles a day." And he said she started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60 years old. And he said, she's 97 now, and we don't have the slightest idea where she is. But he said, but it's good for you. If they never find her, Grandma, it's good for you. Praise God. We got to keep on walking, haven't we? And keep eating right. Amen. Got to keep walking, keep eating right. Yeah. Restaurant fellow went into the other day and it said, fat-free French fries. Fat-free French fries. He said, I want some of them, Brother Spell. And he went up and got them, fat-free French fries. And he saw this lady and dipping them out of a big vat of grease. And he said, ma'am, you got false advertisement. She said, no, we haven't. He said, the sign said fat-free French fries. She said, these are fat-free. He said, I saw you digging them out of the grease. I know they're not fat-free. She said, sir, the advertisement is right. She said, you pay for the potatoes and the fat is free.
Yeah. All right.
Glory, hallelujah. I better read from the Word of God tonight. So if you exercise right, eat right, you're in good shape, aren't you? Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. I want to do my best this week. I realize my insignificance. You don't need me in California, Western District. You've got some of the greatest preachers in Pentecost right here on this platform and in this district, in this audience. My Lord, have mercy. You don't need somebody to come from out of state to preach to you, but since you've asked me to come, I'll try and I'll do my best. I'm honored to be here, but I will give my best. I will do that by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But in them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, the foolishness of God, is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, I've read from 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 29. I want to preach tonight for a little while. My subject will be found in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Would you bow your heads, please, Brother Mullins? Would you please pray?
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray the mantle of your anointing on your servant. God, would you touch his flesh? God, would you anoint his mouth? God, would you speak to my heart? God, I need direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God, would you shine on us tonight? Father, bless us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated and God bless you tonight. Nearly 20 centuries ago, there was, we are told, a weak-eyed missionary that preached a sermon at a place called Mars Hill in Athens. This man that did the preaching was, we are told, not much to look at. For it seems that his bodily presence wasn't much. That's the way it seems when I read about Paul and when I read some of the history about him. Once in a while, God produces a good-looking man to preach just to relieve the monotony. And look over here, Brother Booker, if you will, please. But it's a dangerous thing, the old preacher used to say, for a preacher to be handsome, because his profile may raise expectations that his preaching does not justify. Amen. So most of us are better off just look average, and that's all right with me. But this particular preacher, 20 centuries ago, did not make a great impression on this occasion, but he was, in fact, I believe, perhaps the greatest gospel preacher of all times. And I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he said, I magnify mine office. I believe that Paul gave his very best to God and to the work of God. And God demands our best in the year 2000. We cannot give him tonight any less than our best. And if we give God our best, then he's happy. Somebody said, well, I wonder if my best is good enough. Friend, if you give God your best, that's good enough. Amen. We have different talents and abilities. Some have one, some have two, some have five. Some bring forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But I believe tonight, from this platform to the back of this tent, that if we give God our best, that God is going to be pleased. And that God is going to accept what we give when we give Him our very best. Can you say praise the Lord? It was in Athens that Paul stood and preached the gospel in the midst of what was once, I think, the greatest civilization in all of history. Some of Paul's sophisticated listeners believed his message. Some of them ridiculed him and made fun of him to his face. Others said, we will hear you again later. Or sometimes later, we'll listen to you again. But they never did, because Paul didn't stay there very long. He didn't stay anywhere very long. He was a preacher, an apostle, a missionary, an evangelist, a man of God. And he departed to continue his missionary journey and went on his way preaching. From Athens, Paul went to Corinth, where he set up a standard that I believe we are in danger of forgetting in these sophisticated times in which we live. Hey, the year 2000 is a pretty sophisticated time to live in. Praise God. I want to tell you something. We need to plug in and tune in to what Paul said as he went to Corinth. He said, I am determined to know nothing among you. Say Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. We've got to come back in the year 2000 to the basic fundamental fact that Jesus Christ is still our message. Amen. I'm not here tonight or any night this week to try to wow anybody out or to try to impress somebody with some verbiage. I try to say words that would tickle your ears. Praise God. I made up my mind a few years ago, in whatever time I've got left, I'm going to try to minister to the needs of people. Praise God. So I'm not here to impress anybody, but I am here to say that Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up here this week. That Jesus Christ is going to be exalted. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. There's still a power in the gospel. There's still a power in the simplicity of the gospel. Hallelujah. We will never outgrow our need of old-time preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I'm not here to tell you what I can do, what this man can do, or these men can do, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And if you've got a need, He's here to supply it tonight. Thank God He's in this place. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Paul says, I'm determined to know nothing among you. To know nothing among you. Say Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul declared that the gospel is the foolishness of God and the weakness of God. Now I want you to listen to me. We speak tonight about the wisdom of God. And we speak about God Almighty. And we should. We speak in glowing terms of Him. But who thinks tonight in terms of the foolishness of God or the weakness of God? Who is it that's thinking in those kind of terms? Now, Paul means that his message here is a contradiction to the wisdom of the natural man. Hallelujah. The natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. They are spiritually received. And I'm going to tell you, if we can all get in one mind, one accord, and one spirit, and get in the same spirit, hallelujah, we can have a camp meeting that will break out into an apostolic one God revival in this place this week. I am convinced we can have revival right here under this tent. Hallelujah. I said we can have revival right here tonight. Our spirits can be revived. Sins can be forgiven. Lives can be changed. The Holy Ghost can come in. Sick bodies can be healed. And the power of God can be demonstrated in this place. Hallelujah. There's no fanciness to it. There's no frills to it. It's just a matter of putting Jesus first in our lives and saying, Lord, I believe you tonight. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. You see, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because Paul says they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Praise God. They are spiritually understood. Paul declares here that God upsets all of our standards. He upsets all of our way of thinking by choosing things that are not great as far as the world is concerned. God chooses the foolish. God chooses the weak. God chooses the base. God chooses that which is despised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He chooses things that are not to confound the things that are mighty. And he says the reason he does this is so that no flesh would ever be able to glory in his presence. When God does something under this tent or in your local church, he does not want men to get the credit for it. He does not want man to receive the glory and the honor. I'm telling you, my friend, all glory belongs to Jesus. All honor belongs to Jesus. All praise belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever He's done in your life, why don't you give Him thanks for it and bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do believe that education is a wonderful thing. I do believe that money is a nice thing to have if it's used right and spent right. I do believe that some of the things that we've received in these last days can be good and helpful and beneficial if we do not put them between us and God. I don't believe anything ought to come between us and God, because God says that no flesh should glory in His presence. I've heard preachers preach years ago. Some of them didn't have a high school degree or a high school education, but when they got up to preach, they knew what the anointing was, and they knew and understood the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm telling this camp meeting tonight that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Thank God for your singing. Thank God for your music. Thank God for the choir that's going to sing tomorrow night. Thank God for everything else He's given us. But I want to tell you, the greatest need of this hour is the old-fashioned power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the greatest need of this hour. Hallelujah. 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 People that's looking for church, they can find a beautiful building somewhere else. They can find a rope choir. They can find stained glass windows. They can find thick carpet. They can find padded pews. But they can't find what they feel in this place tonight. This is it, my friend. Hallelujah. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Whoa! Whoa! Hallelujah! Somebody shout amen! Now, you may be seeing that Paul's concept of the foolishness of God and the weakness of God contradicts all of our modern standards. It contradicts our modern thinking. It contradicts our theology. And it's so revolutionary that the church, for the most part, is afraid to try it. We try every program. And I've tried a lot of things. In 38 years as a pastor, I've tried a lot of things. Hallelujah. I've never tried anything that works anymore than just the basic fundamental faith. I asked an old preacher one time that was having a great move of God in his church. I said, what's the secret of success? He said, fasting and prayer and just having good church. He answered me in about 15 seconds, and I kept probing him. I said, no, what is the secret? He said, son, the secret is fasting and prayer and having good church. Did you know there is no substitute for having good church when you come to the house of God? I want to tell you tonight, I'm sick and tired of dead church. I'm sick and tired of dead religion. I'm tired of services that have no breath of the Spirit upon them. Hallelujah. And I beseech the God of heaven to send forth His power. This camp meeting is nothing unless the anointing of God falls on this place. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. I thought as Brother Miles Young came up here tonight and began to sing just some old choruses. Somebody could say they're not new choruses. They're not in step or in style. But I want to tell you something, friend, that Pentecost is not known for just its style or just its impressive rhetoric or ability. But there's a breath of the Spirit that's upon this church. And we've got to keep that at all costs. I said, we've got to keep the power of God. No matter what we lose, we've got to keep the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Paul, that little short, unattractive preacher, standing in the midst of Athens, is a perfect example, I think, of the foolishness and the weakness of God. The man who spoke those words is a perfect example of what God was telling us, the foolishness and the weakness of God versus the wisdom and the power of men. What a contrast. What a difference. The power of men versus the power of God. Hallelujah. The ability of men versus the ability of God. I heard a preacher say on the radio a few years ago, he said, we were going to pray for some sick people and said they couldn't get their healing. But here's what he said, Brother Wilson. He said, when I got there, and when I walked in, and when I laid my hands on them, then they got their miracle. And I thought, friend, your hands don't have any miracles in them. Hallelujah. I've seen young preachers that had them in my own church wouldn't run around laying hands on everybody. Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not your hands that's got the power. It's not your ability. It's not your expertise. It's not who you are. It's not your name. It's not your family pedigree. It's not your background. Praise God. But somehow, if we can get the favor of God and get the power of God in this place, it will revolutionize us. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so, our modern Christianity today is blowing a fuse, trying to sound intellectual, trying to compete with the world, trying to compete with the denominational churches, trying to compete with the charismatics. Amen. I'm not trying to compete with the charismatics. I had the Holy Ghost before I ever heard the word charismatic. I said I had the Holy Ghost before I ever heard the word charismatic. Before they ever started that Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, and somebody that was denominational said they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I had the Holy Ghost before they ever started that. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, friend, we can trace what we are. We can rattle our chain of succession all the way back to an upper room on that day of Pentecost where the Holy Ghost came down. Hallelujah. And I feel that power in this place tonight. Glory to God, glory to God. You know what this earth needs tonight? You know what California, North Carolina, Nevada, and everywhere else needs? But the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them foaming tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh God, do it again. Oh God, do it again. Oh God, do it again. Hallelujah. 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 I am convinced that every time we come to church, we need the power of God. Whether it's Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or whenever it is, we don't need any dead services. We don't need any dead services. We've got to make every service count. You may be seated tonight. I said we've got to make every service count. There's no time, Brother Booker, when I can go to church and say, this is midweek service, I'll just coast. Praise God. I've preached 9 funerals in the last 3 weeks. The last one was Friday of a young man, 30 years old. He used to be on a quiz team. We had the number one team in America 1 year. Just 1 year. But he was on that quiz team. And he was an excellent quizzer. He was the second best quizzer we had on the team at that time. And a week ago tonight, He put a gun to his head and blew his brains out. And I had the preacher's funeral this past Friday. I've been pastoring his family for 20 years. I saw some heartbroken parents and brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, we're living in a time when we can't let one service go by unless there's the power of God. Somebody's here tonight that needs God. Somebody's in your Sunday night service that needs God. We must make every service count. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, apostolics, every service has got to count. You can dress up the foolishness of God in the wisdom of men, and you can fortify the weakness of God with the power of men, but it's not going to have the same results. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I said you can fix up Pentecost, you can dress it up, you can put it out there on display, but it won't have the same appeal as when somebody walks into a service and they suddenly say, I feel God in this house. You say it's not all feeling. You're exactly right. But I believe every sinner that walks into our building ought to feel something. Every backslider ought to feel something. There ought to be something there shaking that place. Some of our people in our own churches would like to modernize religion. They'd like to revamp worship. And they'd like to give Jesus a new look. Dress him up. Give him a new look. But we cheapen the gospel when we try to attract this psychedelic generation. I said we cheapen the gospel when we try to appeal to the carnal man. Hallelujah. We feel that we must be relevant sometime. And we've got to be contemporary. Hallelujah. And we say we've got to study the spectrum. We've got to develop our expertise. We've got to seek fulfillment and involvement. We've got to get down to the nitty-gritty and so on. But what advantage does all of this terminology give unto us if we walk in the service and there's no touch of God and there's no breath of the Spirit? Hallelujah. You can go all over America looking for the next program for your church to grow, but there's nothing that'll take the place of the power of God in that building. Hallelujah! 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 People are driven to the suburban area of Chicago. Find out what makes a church grow from 0 to 15,000. People come to the L.A. greater area to find out what makes certain churches grow from a low number to a high number. People fly all the way overseas and spend days trying to find out the secret to somebody's success. And I believe in reading and studying and doing everything you can. I don't want to be backwards. I don't want my church to be out there in the backwoods somewhere. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, there is no substitute. And this is what I feel indelibly written on my heart tonight. There is no substitute for the glory of God. Hallelujah. When somebody can walk out of a service and say, I came here sick, but I'm healed tonight, that's a testimony of God's power. When a drunkard or an alcoholic walks in and said, I've been bound to alcohol, but I'm set free tonight. When the drug addict is delivered from his addiction, then you can say that God is in this place of a truth. I was preaching a camp meeting a few days ago in Kentucky. And there was a lady that came on a Monday night. She was in a wheelchair, Brother Booker. And she told me on a Monday night, I came by in the altar and I was talking to people, praying for them. And she said to me, she said, I don't know your name, but she said, I'll tell you something. I said, all right. She said, I came this week for two things. I came to camp meeting for two things. I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, number one, I want to get the Holy Ghost. She said, I said, you don't have it? She said, I've never had the Holy Ghost. And she said, number two, I haven't taken a step in years, and I want to walk this week. before this camp meeting's over, I want to walk this week. Hallelujah. That was Monday night. On a Wednesday night, the power of God fell. Somebody pushed him in a wheelchair right up close to the front on my left. And a few moments, she went up there 10 minutes. She was speaking in tongues, and a big smile came on her face, and she motioned me come down. She said, "That's number one. Praise God." Hallelujah. I got the first thing I wanted. On Friday night, there was a prayer line, and they started pushing her wheelchair through, and she got up and started walking all the way across the front of that auditorium. Hallelujah. You can have all the expertise. You can try every method and program. But give me a demonstration of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout praise the Lord. What advantage does our new terminology give us? What advantage if we still have a lacking of God's power in our midst? Oh, hallelujah. When I was a kid, we used to get the itch. You remember that, Brother Moses? Yeah, we used to get the itch. Now then, it's called an allergy. They don't hardly ever call it the itch, it's an allergy. But you still scratch. And still scratch in the same places. And you still itch in the same places. Praise God. Call it what you want to. You still got the same symptoms. Hallelujah. There's nothing glamorous about a manger. There's nothing glamorous about a baby being born of all places in a manger, laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Hallelujah. There's nothing fancy about that. There's nothing glamorous about a poor peasant girl bringing forth a child in this world unless you know who that child was. Isaiah wrote it with a pen of a ready writer. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hey, that's what makes it special. When Jesus was here, he showed very little regard for culture. He showed very little regard for their philosophy and the intellectualism of men. He showed very little regard for that. There's nothing elegant or appealing about a man hanging on a cross between two other men. And his body is bruised and battered. His face is covered with blood and spittle. He's dying between two thieves. Hallelujah. There's nothing fancy about that. But Paul said, "I'm going to glory in the cross." Hallelujah. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It may not be a fancy message, but I'm still going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. They came, Brother C.P. Kilgore came to my hometown of Portageville, Missouri, a little small town in southern Missouri, 1929. I wasn't born then, praise God. Believe it or not, I wasn't born in 1929. One little boy came to his grandpa and said, "Grandpa, was you on Noah's Ark?" And he said, "No, son, why'd you ask?" And he said, "Well, why didn't you drown then?" Yeah, why didn't you drown? Praise God. I wasn't living in 1929, but my daddy was a 10-year-old boy, and his parents were members of a denominational church, and C.P. Kilgore came and preached under a brush arbor, not nothing like this, but a brush arbor. Praise God, praise God. And he preached, and he announced one night, he said, "Tomorrow night, I'm going to preach on the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. I'm going to talk about the church at Rome." And this was in a Catholic town that was 95% Catholic, and he said, "Tomorrow tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the church at Rome. Hallelujah. And they sent him a little note by runner. And it said, if you preach it tomorrow night, we'll be out in the dark with a gun and you will die. We will kill you. And he said to the little boy that brought him the note, he said, would you mind carrying the note back to him? He said, sir, I'm not involved in this. I just brought the note. He said, would you carry it back? And he turned over on the other side of the note and he said, service begins at 7:30. Hallelujah. 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 You know what happened? The next night he opened his Bible and started preaching about the mother of Hilas, and there were three men in an old pickup truck that was out in the dark, and they all raised the guns, and by their own record, they tried to shoot him, and the guns locked, and the guns wouldn't shoot, and when they tried three or four times, they jumped off of the truck, ran inside the brush arbor, fell down on their knees, and said, preacher, forgive us, and they all three got the Holy Ghost that night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All three of the men got the Holy Ghost, and that started a great revival. And my dad pastored that church. He was 10 years old at that time. But that was their introduction to Pentecost. My. Praise God. You may be seated. And a few years later, my daddy was a hopeless alcoholic and went to a service out in the middle of a cotton field and knelt on his knees to pray in a house. There was 19 people in that old house that Sunday afternoon in a service. Out of 20 people, 19 of them knelt to pray. One of them didn't pray. And that one that didn't pray died lost. I knew him well. He never did pray. But my daddy was a hopeless alcoholic and God forgave him. They said he would never be anything but a hopeless alcoholic and he'd never be anything but a liability to his family. Praise God that God changed his life. Four packs of cigarettes a day, drinking himself to death, starving his family to death, and God delivered him and called him to preach. And he pastored 43 years in that same town where that brush arbor was. You know what? It's not the expertise of men. What we need tonight is the power. Oh. Oh. Halakasha talaboya. I feel something moving here tonight. I said, I feel something moving here tonight. And my friend, just because the plan of salvation wasn't worked out in a conference by scholarly men in a university doesn't mean there isn't anything profound about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in the glory. Hallelujah. Hey, the intellectuals of this world, can you figure that out? Hallelujah. Compared to 1 Timothy 3:16, nuclear physics is kindergarten stuff. Hallelujah. I said compared to the Bible and the power of the written word. There's nothing else that can compare with this. The message of the gospel is so different from anything that we've ever conceived in our own minds that the wise and the smart elects of this world call it nonsense. They call it silly. They say you're a moron if you believe that. And that's what Paul means by the foolishness in my text tonight. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Hallelujah. The world resents it because the gospel leaves no room for the pride of man and allows no flesh to glory in his presence. They laughed at it at Corinth and they laugh at it today. And when we try to tone it down or dress it up to please the people of our age, we do an injustice to the power of the gospel. I said, when we try to change it to please people when we try to change the Word of God to please men. And I'm not for being mean and ugly and all of that. I try to preach with love and great love to the people that I preach to. If I didn't love people, I wouldn't preach to them. We're having business in the pulpit. Your pastors preach the truth because they love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would not waste my time or your time with the people I pastor in North Carolina if it wasn't for something through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But God has kept these spiritual secrets from the wise and from the prudent, but He has revealed them unto babes. Hallelujah. The worldling may be prominent, they may be successful, they may have a PhD, but that gives him no advantage whatsoever in understanding the things of the Spirit of God. It is the preaching of the cross that is to the world foolishness. And if the preaching of the cross is to the world foolishness, then the preacher of the cross must be considered by the world to be a fool. Is that right? If your preaching is foolishness, then the preacher must be considered a fool. Hallelujah. And Paul said that's exactly what we are. We're fools for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. You can stand in Congress or at the UN or any university today and you can preach the gospel and you'll be called a moron. This is the foolishness of God. The gospel has never made sense to this world and it never will. Hallelujah. There are no points of similarity. There's only one point, only points of contrast, and it runs against the grain of this old world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm preaching tonight that Jesus was born, that He lived a sinless life, that He died at Calvary, that He resurrected the third day, that He ascended back to heaven, and He started the church with the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and that God's got a church on the face of this earth tonight, and He will have until He comes again, and His coming is going to be at any time, and if you're not ready, get ready tonight. Repent of your sins. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul was not interested in art, culture, or philosophy as he walked through Athens. That wasn't what got his attention. It was not art. They had it. It was not their culture. It was not their philosophy. What impressed him was, these people don't know the true God. That's what impacted Paul's life. I was thinking of the song today as I was praying and thinking about what I was going to say to you tonight. I kept thinking of the old song, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. All that thrills my soul." They asked that old preacher, I forgot the name, but they asked him, said, "How is it that at the age of 75 or 80 or whatever his age was, you still seem excited about Jesus?" And his classic answer was, "I have never lost the wonder of it all." Hallelujah. And after 44 years of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I hope I never lose the wonder of it all. Brother Wilson, this is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. When I came to God, He forgave my sins. I was baptized in Jesus' name in an old ditch, in an old creek, 20 degrees above zero. They had to break the ice and put me down the water. Praise God that I came out of that water with my sins washed away. And God filled my heart with the Holy Ghost. And I can say, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. And so Paul did not preach on art and culture and philosophy. He preached on revelation, resurrection, repentance. Today, the modern preacher thinks that we've got to brush up on our appreciation of all the arts and the things around us. The modern preacher wants to see all the Broadway plays and sip ginger ale at their cocktail parties. We've tried to make the gospel popular, but this gospel, my friend, was never meant for entertainment. And that's why I don't believe for a moment that we ought to bring worldly entertainers in to entertain us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got some good singers in Pentecost. We've got enough good singers. We've got enough good music. We don't have to bring folks in that have never been baptized in Jesus' name, that have never had the Holy Ghost, that do not have a revelation of who Jesus is and who live a worldly life. We don't need them. We've got everything we need in the church tonight. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands together. Let's magnify Jesus. Let's lift Him up, church. Come on, let's lift up Jesus. He's here. His holy presence is here. His power is here. The same God that filled you with the Holy Ghost weeks, months, or years ago is under this tent tonight. Let us revel in His presence and power. Hallelujah. How long has it been since you talked in tongues? How long has it been since you felt the Spirit of God? How long has it been since you shook under the power of God? It can happen tonight. Keep eating. Come on, church, let's praise the Lord. I challenge you tonight. If you haven't talked in tongues in a while, let's start off Monday night camp meeting. Let's get in the Spirit. Building up yourselves in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I said we don't need worldly preachers to put this over. We don't need worldly musicians to put our message over. We don't need worldly singers to put our message over. We need some godly people that got the touch of the Holy Ghost upon them. Hey, every time you sing, my friend, there ought to be an anointing upon you. Every time you play music, there ought to be an anointing. Every time we preach, there ought to be an anointing. That's the need of this hour, is the anointing. The anointing. There appear to them cloven tongues like as of fire. Can it happen in California? Can it happen in Santa Maria? Can it happen under a tent? Can it happen in the praise and worship of God's people? When we call in the world and the flesh and the devil to try to put our message over, we have cheapened our gospel. We have not communicated it. We have cheapened it.
Right.
You say the end justifies the means, Brother Goodair. But the means determines the end.
And we need God's power. Let's let the Holy Ghost just kind of flow in this place right now. Oh, there is no place tonight for dialogue between the foolishness of God and the wisdom of man. A man without Jesus Christ is blind and he's dead. He cannot see or live until he believes and obeys the gospel.
light means nothing to a blind man. He must have his sight. You can have light all around him, but it means nothing until he receives his sight. In the days of the first century church, please remain standing. Somebody might have asked, what do these Galilean fishermen know about the problems of our time? But I want to tell you that they turned their world upside down with a simple story of Jesus. They did not hold seminars on slavery and symposiums on Caesar. They were open to the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and they met their civilization of their day in a head-on collision with the foolishness of God. Today, we can talk over the heads of common people trying to make Jesus Christ acceptable to some highbrows and worldly people. We're talking to people that aren't listening and answering questions that nobody's asking. But it's been said, and I quote, it's been said that if another revival ever comes to America, it'll begin with a persecuted minority, scorning the values of this world, living by stringent discipline. Such people will be nobodies in the eyes of this age and fools for Christ's sake. And that, my friend, is the logical and scriptural conclusion if the answer to our dilemma is in the foolishness and the weakness of God. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder, as Brother Spell would sing tonight, if there's a preacher, a preacher's wife, a layman, a young person, anybody in this building, that but on this first night, I know you can think about going to eat and think about a lot of things, but for a few moments, for just a few brief moments, I wonder if there's somebody that would step out from that seat, that folding chair where you're standing by, and walk up here to the front, as Brother Spell sings, and say, I want the power. I want God's power.
Lift the name of Jesus higher.
Above everything else, I want God's
lift
power.
Lift Him up.
What about it, preacher? What about it, pastor? How about it, evangelist? How about it, young person? Young married couple?
He said,
middle-aged senior citizens? Whatever age.
I will draw.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's come together to worship. Come on, let's worship God.
Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Raise His banner to the sky.
Come on, let's lift Him up in our heart, in our faith, in our attitude, in our spirit, in our understanding of God. Come on, let's reach out to God all over this tent. All over. Come on, let's turn this tent into a prayer room right now. Let's turn this tent into a prayer meeting. I need Your power, Lord. I need Your power. I need Your glory. I need a visitation of the Spirit. I need a brand new touch of God. I need a brand new anointing of the Spirit's power.
He said, if I be lifted up,
come on, friend, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Jesus and Him crucified. Let's lift Him up. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for revival in California, Nevada. Let's pray for revival in every church. Come on, let's pray for revival. Let's pray for a move of God in our churches.
He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Lift Him up, all you people. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. In the name of Jesus higher. Lift Him up. Raise His banner to the sky. He said, if I the sky. He said, if I be lifted up, Lord, I'm coming unto thee. Lift him up. You people, lift him up. Him up in the name of Jesus. I lift him up, raise his banner to the sky. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him up, all ye people. Lift him up.